people talking about organics these days, but the man who started it all is right here. Here he is, author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody back to the show. Telephone number to be with me and talk gardening, landscaping, pest control, composting we're talking about. We're talking about mulches a little bit more that we started in the previous hour. GMOs have been on the subject today. If you want to catch up on things that we've done, there'll be a podcast of the two previous hours on dirtdoctor.com sometime early in the week for you. And you can go to Facebook, Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor Facebook, and we're talking about a lot of those things there. Real quickly, and then we'll get back to the phones. It's 866-444-3478. We were talking about the bad mulches that I don't recommend, and these dyed mulches are close to the top. Probably the number one top is ground up rubber tires. Just all kinds of problems. They're full of toxic materials. They heat up too much, bad for the plants. Don't use them. That's a bad idea. Probably the second worst. Well, pine bark's way up there, like I was talking about, but a very bad category of these dyed mulches, and you're seeing them all over the place. For some reason, people think they look good. I don't get that, but that's a secondary issue. They come in red or black. The red, not as bad as the black. The black is dyed with carbon black and sometimes some other stuff that is extremely toxic. And that's, you know, a legal thing to do. It's a legal way to get rid of carbon black and some of the other nasty things that burn that stuff and create that black color. But the other problem is, even if the dyed mulches didn't have a toxic dye on them, they wouldn't be any good, because they're almost 100% carbon. Their carbon to nitrogen ratio is about 500 or 600 or more to one. So if you pick up one of those pieces from the mulch and take a knife, we did it yesterday, John and I were talking about it on the trip. If you cut into one of those pieces of black mulch, you'll find that right under the surface is just white wood. So they have to use white, dry wood for it to, you know, to soak up the dye to get that real dramatic dark color that they have. So there's no protein. There's none of the things that we like in the shredded tree trimmings mulch, the cambium, the buds, and all that stuff. And that carbon stuff can be bad, because a lot of it comes from pallets, old pallets and lumber. And I don't care how careful they say they are at keeping the treated lumber out, you know that probably goes on. But even if it doesn't, a lot of those pallets have been used to transport what? Well, all kinds of things, and some of them very nasty. So there can be all kinds of things in the wood. But even if that doesn't happen, just the carbon to nitrogen ratio, as they break down or try to break down, they rob the nutrients. You're going to see plants with that kind of mulch around them turn yellow and do badly, and that's because they're bad mulches and shouldn't be used. If somebody tries to talk you into it, don't go with that. Also, people are surprised that I don't like cypress. We talked about cypress. Oh, and by the way, there was a real nice column written in the Dallas Morning News. I guess it ran Thursday here in this area, and you can see it on the Dallas Morning News' website, written by a freelance author, I believe. And she interviewed me, and I was quoted in it quite a bit. And she got one of the quotes wrong. She put in there that I don't like cedar. And what that should have said was cypress. I don't like cypress, because it's an environmental problem, for one thing. They're cutting down big old-growth cypress trees along environmentally sensitive areas to grind that stuff up. There's a real high percentage of carbon in those products, as opposed to the protein, the living part of the tree. There's some in there, but much more of the wood and carbon and cellulose. And they don't break down. The big point of cypress is it doesn't break down. We want a top dressing mulch to decompose pretty quickly. That makes compost. The really natural way to make compost is to put a good mulch, shredded native tree trimmings on the surface of the soil. They break down pretty quickly. The biological activity is tremendous. The feeding of nutrients to the plants, the stimulation of biological activity, the improvement of the crumb structure of the soil. All the good things happen if you use the right kind of mulch. If you use Cypress, that doesn't happen. It locks into place pretty badly, doesn't breathe right, doesn't break down, lasts a long time. So anyway, I've got all that covered on my website, dirtdoctor.com, and we'll talk more about it because it's a big, big deal. Let's see, the other related thing, I'll get back to it in a minute. Ray in Dallas is next up. Hey, Ray.
Yeah, I got a quick question for you, sort of related to compost. I got in the pecan business a little bit this year, and as a result of cleaning pecans, I got a stack of probably 3,000 or 4,000 pounds of pecans that didn't make the grade as far as being able to sell them.
Wow.
And, okay. You know, I figure they're going to be good for something. I don't know the best way to utilize that material.
Well, the very best thing you could do, Ray, would be to put them on some kind of paving surface and drive over them and crush them and then put them in a compost pile.
Yeah, I took a small batch of them and ran them over with the mulching lawnmower, and that turns them into a pretty fine dust.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, it's there's a good balance of protein, obviously, the protein of the nut and, you know, and the carbon of the shell. Makes a darn good compost, but it won't break down too well if it's left in the pecan, you know, full pecans. So break them down, and they'll turn into good compost for you in a pretty short period of time.
There's a good bunch of them that still have the hulls on them, too. I'm assuming the hulls are just as good compost as anything else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you leave them in the hulls, they won't break down very fast. The hull is carbon. The meat is protein. So crushing them and mixing it all together is how you get that great compost mixture.
I'm going to try to put them over about a 5-acre piece of land. So.
Oh, that's great. Right.
We'll see how that works. Okay.
Crushing them will also keep them from germinating and have a little forest of pecan trees. So it just speeds it up. You don't have to do it. You can put them out without crushing them, but if you do crush them, it'd be a lot better. Run them through a grinder, mow them all, like you said, any way of crushing them up.
Okay. That's what I needed. Thank you much.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
The other thing related to this is you know, soil testing. A lot of people are contacting me about their plants turning yellow, and a lot of it is not only related to the mulch, but also the compost that they're buying and using. If the compost is windrow composted too much and not maintained right, you're going to have a real high level of bacteria and very little fungal in it. If it is composted too short a period of time, it's still going to be in the raw form and not have rich biological activity, and put in beds without organic fertilizer or some good compost mixed with it or something, dry molasses, Garrett juice drench real heavily. It will have a detrimental effect, especially on seedlings. One of the most common questions I get is, I bought some compost and I put it in and I planted. I was told this was a vegetable gardening mix or whatever kind of mix, and my plants haven't grown. In fact, they're starting to turn yellow and die. That is just a result of the compost not being properly composted and finished properly, and the nutrients not being available to the plants. You can turn a crummy compost into a decent one by adding some of the things that we recommend, the sugars and rock powders and organic fertilizers, but that's an expense that is, you know, kind of a waste. It'd be better just to put those amendments in the soil and top dress with shredded native tree trimmings and save time and money if you can get a good quality compost. And what that means is, when you buy compost, ask for testing. One of the testing labs that tests compost for nutrient availability and all that kind of thing is Texas Plant and Soil Lab down in Edinburgh, Texas, and we recommend them highly. You can use Elaine Ingham's company and other companies to test for the actual biological activity in the soils, and compost companies ought to be doing that on a regular basis. and have that testing information ready to hand to you to show you that the biological activity, bacteria and fungal, both are real, real high. And if they can't give you that, chances are the compost isn't very good. And it's a usable material. It's just not worth very much unless you add some organic fertilizer to it to overcome the shortcomings that it has. We'll talk about that more if you want to. Give me a call. I'll think about a few more points as we go, but we'll get back to the phones now at 866-444-3478. If you want to get a soil test from Texas Plant and Soil Lab or compost, either one, information is right on the right side of dirtdoctor.com under their little ad.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you by now. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. The absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time are all important. Some of the Munster products have no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster natural is quality and results in healthy cats and dogs. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area for your dogs and cats.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. The issues of, you know, quality mulch and compost is something we're going to continue to talk about, but just remember that testing is pretty simple to see whether there's, you know, some good quality there or not. And Texas Plant and Soil Lab, I kind of got rushed there at the end, can help you with those issues. Building new beds, I would recommend, even if you do the generic improvements that I recommend, send a soil sample off to them and let them tell you. Related to that, a question came up yesterday that's very common, becoming even more common. I think it happened twice at the three different events where we appeared in Houston. And the question was this: I just got a soil test back, and the soil test recommendations say that I should not use any fertilizers that contain phosphorus, and I should not use any manure products, compost products, for 5 years. And I have to chuckle every time somebody brings it up. It's worded each time that somebody brings it up to me, it's worded the same way. And it's the same in Houston, and as it is for people in East Texas, as it is for the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Where this soil test is done and where the recommendations come from is the Texas A&M soil testing lab down in College Station. And they're really promoting getting people to get soil tests. I was talking to some master gardeners down there in Houston, who tend to be a little bit more into organics than the people around the Dallas-Fort Worth area here. And they were saying that there's a real push to get people to use that testing lab down there. Well, first of all, they use an acid extraction, which tells you what's in the soil, but doesn't tell you anything at all about what's available to the soil. The second thing is they don't even address in their reporting what the organic matter in the soil is. They don't think that it is important. For years, if you ask our listeners and people that were organic would specifically ask for it because they realize that carbon is the most important thing. It's what the plant uses the most of, and they don't even cover it on their test. And so they were asking A&M to include it on their test, and A&M was stamping it with a rubber stamp and writing it in by hand on their test results. Today, if you get a test soil samples to them and get a test result back, they don't even address it. They tell you it's unimportant. So this recommendation that phosphorus is too, there's too much phosphorus in the soil, and that you should not use anything but nitrogen-only fertilizers, which is absurd, and you shouldn't use any organic products, especially those that contain manures. That is a report that if you have one, you should throw it away and totally ignore it and get a test from Texas Plant and Soil Lab. They do a carbon dioxide extraction, which is how plant roots do it in the soil. That's the big difference. And their test tells you what is available short-term and long-term to the plant. Huge difference. The A&M test doesn't give you any information that I've been able to figure out that is of any value at all. So, and I know a lot of you have been getting those tests, so be very careful. James in Ashfark, Arizona. Hi, James.
Hi. I have a question on gnats. I'm trying to raise seedlings from seed and edibles, you know, vegetables.
Uh-huh.
And I've been going through a heck of a time with gnats just eating them. They'll get up about an inch, and the gnats are just infesting them.
Wow.
I've tried DE, and it, as soon as it gets damp, it gets mucky, and then it, if it dries out, it chokes off the seedlings.
Okay, here's what you need to do, James. We have a formula that's called Garrett Juice. Have you seen it yet?
No.
Okay, it's on my website, dirtdoctor.com. It's basically compost tea or liquid humate. You can use either one. A cup per gallon of water, and then 1 ounce of each one of these. Apple cider vinegar, seaweed, liquid molasses, and liquid fish. That's Garrett juice. And you spray that, you mix those things in a gallon of water, you spray that on a regular basis, and into the mix, in your case, add a product that says on the label BTI, Bacillus thuringiensis israelensis. It's a mouthful, but it's just it'll show the letters just BTI. It's like BT that kills moth, caterpillars, you know, and things like that.
Yeah,
but the
makes
it something that kills fungus gnats, buffalo flies, and mosquitoes. And it is very effective. You probably have a soil that's being kept a little too moist or some rotting fruit or something like that around if the gnats are that bad. But the Garrett Juice Spray will be a foliar feed. Drench it into the soil. It'll feed the roots. It's a root stimulator. It'll help you set fruit and everything else. And the BTI added to it will take care of your pests.
So it'll drench the soil and kill the gnats?
Kills them deader than a hammer and doesn't hurt beneficial insects at all.
Where could I get your Garrett Juice Spray? Because
you can get
it around here.
You can buy it commercially on Amazon or the Natural Organic Warehouse or places like that, but you can make it yourself. The formula is on dirtdoctor.com and in all my books.
Yeah, I don't have a computer at all. I'm out off the grid.
Well, go to a library or a school and use theirs, and you can get it that way.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to have to run. Appreciate your call. Call us again, and we'll be glad to help. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Two high school football players on trial in an Ohio juvenile court have been found delinquent, the equivalent of guilty in an adult court, and sentenced to at least 1 year in juvenile jail. The judge ruled Steubenville High School students Trent Mays and Malik Richmond raped a drunken 16-year-old girl after an alcohol-fueled party last summer. The chairman of the House Intelligence Committee says the U.S. doesn't know about the stability of North Korea's young leader, who has threatened preemptive nuclear strikes on Washington, Republican Representative Mike Rogers of Michigan talking to CNN's State of the Union. Greek police have been lobbing chemicals into a central prison in an effort to smoke out a convicted murderer who's holding 5 hostages at this hour. Negotiators have been talking with the Albanian man for 18 hours, say he's demanding a getaway car. He's escaped twice before. This is SRN News.
What would you do if you knew you would not fail? This is Steve Cooper, founder of ERSOP, which stands for Entrepreneur Rollover Stock Ownership Plan. If you tried to launch a business recently and know that capital is difficult to come by, what you may not realize is that you are sitting on the capital you need. If you have retirement funds in the bank, we can help you use those funds as capital for your own business, and it's completely legal. Every plan we do is pre-approved and submitted to the IRS with full disclosure so that you can be at peace knowing that everything's been handled correctly. My partner Karen Franklin and I have set up thousands of these plans, so we have the specialized expertise to get it set up for you in about 2 weeks. Karen and I work with the clients directly, so call us at 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MYERSOP, 866-693-7767. Invest in yourself. Call us at 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MYERSOP, 866-MY-ERSOP. That's 866-MY-ERSOP.
With us for sports, I'm Patrick Foss. The Big 12 Conference Championship game was the Battle of Kansas. The Jayhawks clobbered Kansas State 70-54 to win their ninth Big 12 tournament. Kansas coach Bill Self says he's hopeful the tournament win will help his team seal the number one seed in the NCAA tournament.
It would be nice for our kids. I mean, you work so hard, and everything's road to Final Four, and number one seeds do get some extra publicity and notoriety, especially with recruiting and things like that. So it'd be awesome.
Ohio State and Wisconsin will play for the Big Ten title today. The Buckeyes beat Michigan State 61-58, while Wisconsin down Indiana 68-56. Hoosiers coach Tom Crean says he's not sure if the loss hurts his team's chance for a number one seed in the NCAA tournament.
Certainly we would have liked to have won it, but it doesn't undo what we've done at this point. To this point, it doesn't undo any of that.
Miami top North Carolina State 81-71 in their first ACC semifinal. The Canes will play North Carolina in today's final. The Tar Heels beat Maryland 79-76 in the other semi. This is Esser in sports. Louisville erased a 16-point deficit with a 24-3 run to beat Syracuse 78-61 to take the Big East title. Louisville guard Peyton Sebu with 11 points on their second-half comeback.
Our guys really bought in the second half of playing defense and not allowing our offense to affect us. For us to come back from down 16 really meant a lot and really meant that, it showed a lot of heart.
Memphis went to two overtimes to beat Southern Miss 91-79 to win Conference USA. Oregon has defeated UCLA 78-69 to take the Pac-12. Southeastern Conference semifinals saw Florida beat Alabama and Mississippi down Vanderbilt in the Atlantic 10 Conference semis. St. Louis was a winner over Butler, while VCU downed UMass. Other tournament winners to take automatic NCAA bids: Albany, Southern University, North Carolina A&T, Akron, Montana, Pacific, New Mexico, Northwestern State, and New Mexico State. With Esser in Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All right, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. Here's Dale in Waco. Hey, Dale.
Good morning, Howard.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Well, a couple of quick questions. Watering is a nightmare for everybody. How to water, the best way to water. I've listened to you for years, and I know what you think about drip irrigation. And I usually use impact sprinklers, but I moved my tomatoes this year, and I bought a soaker hose.
Mm-hmm.
It says that it leaks at a rate of 1 gallon per foot per hour. What does that translate to in terms of deep watering on a relatively, slow basis? In other words, I'm trying to figure out how to use this. And what do you think about soaker hoses?
Well, I'm not a huge fan in general, and asking me anything about math is very dangerous. But soaker hoses, I think, have a limited use in certain situations. I think soaker hoses and the hoses that have little emitters at specific spots along it are good for row crops, where you can drip right on the base of the crops that are in a straight line.
Right.
My big problem, and they're fine there, and as far as you just have to, determine what the gallonage is that's going out, and more importantly, probe the soil
and see
how the moisture level's staying. One of my big problems with drip is that the water's very uneven. It seeks the path of least resistance, and it gets real wet over here, and it stays dry over here. So you're going to have to move the the soaker hoses and the drip around if that situation is happening. The other thing is, and I took a picture the other day. I just finished a new book, and I put a picture of some solid sod that had been laid down on this new fancy-smancy drip irrigation system, you know, that goes underground.
Yes,
it's called Netafilm or something like that. And on a flat surface, it may work pretty well, but on any kind of a slope at all, I don't see how it can possibly work. The Whole Foods store that's near my office in Lakewood here in Dallas, they just put mulch on, I don't know, several thousand square feet of slope that was planted, you know, probably no telling how many thousands of dollars they spent planting ground cover in these areas, and there's not one plant left, not one. And so I just continue to see big problems with attempts to try to do drip irrigation for landscaping, especially if there's any slope in the property at all. Now, for row crops and vegetables and things like you're talking about, you can get away with it, but you've got to really monitor it and move it around, watch and probe and do all those things.
Yeah, this is not really this is that type of soaker hose. You know, they just kind of sweat the entire length of the hose.
Well, it's as bad as anything because it'll tend to put out more water toward the end than toward the hydrant because there's more pressure down at the end of the thing than there is, you know, back toward where the water's coming into it in the beginning. You see what I mean?
I do.
Bob Webster gave me a system that I haven't even set up yet that I forget the name of it. It's one that he likes to use in vegetable gardens, and it's supposedly engineered so that the pressure stays the same all along the hose and you don't have that problem. The other problem with the one you're talking about that sweats and leaks all along the length of the thing, I've used them in the past. Well, sooner or later, there gets to be a tear or a rodent eats a little hole in it or it deteriorates. Well, when that happens, it's all over. All the water goes out there instead of the rest of the length of the soaker hose.
Stay with what I've been doing. It was basically just impact sprinklers. I mean,
yeah, for the most part, use that soaker as an additional tool, you know, and move it around and really lift it up and look at how the water's coming out of it and monitor for those problems. But it absolutely is not a final solution that you put in and you just all you have to worry about is turning it on and turning it off. That isn't the case.
Well, the reason I did it, you know, you hear all this stuff about tomatoes and soil-borne diseases splashing up on the plants if you water them from overhead. I was just doing it on the tomatoes, so that's...
Well, on tomatoes, that is somewhat of an issue, but if you mulch with a nice shredded material underneath the plants, you're not really going to have that problem. Plus, when it rains, you know, the water's hitting the plants from above and hitting the ground. So.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question about asparagus?
Sure.
I planted about 15 hands, first time I've ever done it, listened to you and looked on the web and didn't pay any attention to the trenching stuff. I just planted them. Okay. Never had them before, first time I've ever seen them. You know, they got a little root ball at the end or whatever you want to call it, and it looked like four or five proto-asparagus spears that had dried up. I guess that's the way they normally look. I buried them. You know, just planted them, barely the tips showing up. And the research on the web said you plant them when the soil's low, 60 degrees, they might not make. It's been about 2 weeks ago. I'm not seeing nothing. Is it too early? Do I need to worry?
No, they're probably going to come up for you fine. Mine, which you've been in for 2 years, I've already harvested twice, you know, quite a bit of spears off mine. So it's warm enough for them to be growing from established plantings of asparagus, but for new ones, though, they're going to start coming up a little bit slower. It's possible they're dried up and dead. Next time you do it, if you have to do it or if you expand, soak those hands in water with just a little bit of Garrett juice and some mycorrhizal fungus put in there before you put them in the ground. And even though you don't need to do trenches like all the books recommend, in fact, my original book recommended it, but it's too much trouble. But what you do need to do is have the beds prepared really well with lots of compost, rock powder, and sugar, and raised a little bit because you've put all these new ingredients in there, and then they'll just grow like crazy for you.
But I don't need to panic yet.
Not yet. There's always a chance that you bought some dry roots that aren't going to work, but hopefully they just haven't gotten started yet.
Okay, Howard, right. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Let's go to Janet in Colorado Springs. Hi, Janet.
Hi. Hey, I need your advice on a couple of things.
Okay.
We bought our house back in 85. It was built in 77. Now, when we purchased it, it had part of a privet hedge around the front driveway.
Uh-huh.
We filled it in with bare root, and it grew. Now we're finding that we have areas where it's died out. But the issue is that it's gotten so tall. It's about, I'm 5'5", and it's about chest high on me.
Okay.
Little mid-chest. And I would like to have some of the top taken off so that I could cut out the dead and possibly plant some more bare root in there to fill it in. And now it hasn't leafed out or anything. Can I go ahead and do that? Would it harm the plant if I were to cut maybe about a third off?
Probably not. What was the plant exactly again?
It's privet head.
It's a privet. Is it a variegated privet or just a green?
No, it's just a regular green, just the regular.
And that'll survive your cold up there?
Oh, yes.
Okay. It's tough plant. It's a very tough plant. It's, it's introduced from Asia, but it's very tough. Yeah, you can cut it back that much without hurting it at all.
And okay,
plants,
and then I can go ahead.
Yeah,
and then go ahead and trim the dead out, right?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Go ahead and get it done right now. You're still pretty cold right now, I would imagine.
We're in the 30s right now. We're going to get up to 50. This
oh,
is
good.
Springtime in the Rockies, so
okay.
You never know what's going to happen.
No, get it going. That's a plant we don't recommend all that much, but it's pretty tough, and I think what you're thinking about doing won't hurt a bit.
Okay. Another thing is where can I find your books?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Natural
Barnes & Noble
Organic.
Has them.
Yeah, Natural
okay.
Organic Warehouse.
Are they just called Dirt Doctor?
I got about 15 books. There's all kinds of names. There's books on vegetables, on herbs, insects, landscaping. Just depends on what subject you're interested in.
All above.
Yeah, just do a search for Howard Garrett books and they'll all pop up for you.
Howard Garrett? Okay, I will. Thank you.
Appreciate the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you could probably Google Dirt Doctor. Same thing would happen, I guess. Some retail stores in Texas will have them, but across the country you may have to buy them that way. Ken in Tomball, is it Tomball, I bet?
Tomball, Texas,
Tomball,
yeah.
Okay. I got Tomball here. Matt's got it. He spells like I do. What's going on, Ken?
I'm not very good at spelling either. I was wanted to ask you. I've purchased herbicide, and it's called Image. It's got atrazine in it, and I was wondering, is that something I could use under trees?
Do you have that thing in your hand? Do you have that product in your hand?
I can have it in my hand and just.
Well, the reason I'm asking, I was just you surprised me a little bit. I didn't know that Image had atrazine in it. That's my question mark. Does it really say that?
Yeah, this is it. It's for St. Augustine grass and centipede grass, and it says it's with atrazine.
Oh, they've added atrazine to Image.
At least this particular product, anyway. But it says it's for dollar weed, which is what I've got.
Okay, however soon you can get back to the store where you bought that, Ken, take it back. That's a horrible product. Shouldn't be on the market.
Atrazine should not be on the market.
Atrazine will kill your shrubs and trees. Atrazine is what is in the dry fertilizer that all of us in the gardening communication business, with the exception of a couple of chemical knuckleheads, cited to not ever use, and it's Scott's Bonus S. Scott's Bonus S contains atrazine too, and it tells you it'll kill your shrubs and trees right on the label.
Yeah.
But of course, nobody reads the label. It says on the label you shouldn't use it around your shrubs and trees. Well, where on a residential property could you put out something that's not around shrubs and trees? So, no,
yeah.
That's an extremely bad product, and it's amazing that it's on the market.
For dollar weed, what do you recommend?
Well, we were talking about that at the events where I was speaking in Houston this past week. They have a lot of it there, you know. And it's a tough weed to control. The first thing you have to understand about it, just like you have to understand about nut sedge or nut grass, is that it likes to grow in wet anaerobic soils. So if you have it growing, it's telling you that your soil is not very good from that standpoint.
Yeah, it's very sandy here.
And well, you need to increase, even if it's sandy, it must not be draining very well, or it's staying too wet for some reason, because that plant is a bog type plant. You need to spray it with hydrogen peroxide or vinegar, either one. Tell you what, to explain this properly, I need a little more time. Can you hold on with me?
Sure.
Okay, I'll be back, and we'll talk about dollar weed and more right after this. 866-444-3478 if you want to call and get in line.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at BioSITechnology.com.
Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity, and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you by now. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. The absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time are all important. Some of the Munster products have no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy cats and dogs. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area for your dogs and cats.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All right, I'm back, and Ken hopefully is back with us talking about controlling dollar weed. You there, Ken?
Yes.
I just did a search on this image with atrazine, and it is fascinating. I found a whole another issue for us to talk about here too. But Ken called about using this product, and I told him it was a horribly toxic thing and shouldn't be used. And he wanted to know how to control dollar weed, and so we're going to talk about that. But let me tell you one more thing about why Image with atrazine is so bad. Image was marketed for a long time as a control for nutsedge, nutgrass, you know, in turf and everything.
Yeah.
And years ago when I first heard about it, when I was maybe, I think I was not even into organics yet, I did some research and looked into it, talked to contractors around the North Texas area about it, and I never met one contractor, never talked to one person that said it ever worked to control the nutsedge.
Wow.
And so we never recommended it. Then, of course, I got into organics and didn't recommend any toxic chemicals anyway. But dollar weed can be controlled if you can try to dry out the area a little bit. That's number one. If you build the biological activity with, it sounds like you're new to organics maybe, with a lot of compost and a lot of the organic fertilizers, the dry molasses, the BioSI is a product that contains beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizal fungus, and it's state-of-the-art. It's just a wonderful line of products. They've got microbe products for all sorts of things, BioSI, and you can go directly to their website, do a search there. So that's the first step, is create a condition where the dollar weed doesn't like it. Now, to kill it when it's there, there's a product on the market that's pretty terrific that's called Garden Weasel Crabgrass Control. It's a dry product, and it works on all kind of broadleaf weeds and grasses like crabgrass, and it's selective. It's one of the few organic selective herbicides out there. Most of them are non-selective, things like vinegar herbicides and delaminine and things like that. They'll burn anything that they're sprayed on, hydrogen peroxide and all that. But the crabgrass control, this Garden Weasel Crabgrass Control, is selective. You wet the whole area, and you dust it on, and it kills the weeds without hurting the grass. Now, dollar weed is a little different, and the reason is dollar weed is kind of taller and tougher, and it has a shiny coating on the leaf. If we're talking about dollar weed, and that's a whole other issue that I'll get in with you in a minute, but for people really with dollar weed, I think the crabgrass control will kill it. And one thing we talked about in Houston to add to the solution here is to spray the dollar weed before you treat it with the crabgrass control product with a not a herbicide level of vinegar, but maybe make it half the strength that we would normally make it. You know, in other words, cut the vinegar in half with water, the vinegar herbicide mixture. And that formula is on our website, by the way. In other words, spray the dollar weed with this diluted vinegar to kind of mess up the shiny sheen on that weed, and then put the garden weasel crabgrass control. I think that'll give it the ability to enter the plant better and really kill it.
Well, maybe this isn't dollar weed.
Okay, now I bet
kind of a vine that grows.
Well, a lot of people ask me how to control dollar weed, and they're talking about dichondra, which is a real low-growing ground cover. Now that one's easy to control. The crabgrass control will probably do it by itself. I don't kill it. I encourage it. I love it. I think it's a great ground cover. I have it growing between my stepping stones and as a ground cover in areas. And if it gets in the turf, if you just fertilize a little bit more and encourage the turf and put compost, the turf usually will crowd out the dichondra. Dichondra is a smaller leaf, and it's the stem goes in the side of the leaf. Dollar weed is a bigger leaf, more like a 50-cent piece or a silver dollar, and the stem goes in the middle of the leaf.
Okay. Then I have the smaller.
So dichondra, I wouldn't kill at all, but if you want to, you can kill it with the crabgrass control killer or spot spraying it with the vinegar or with a delaminine product like the Avenger product.
Okay. All right.
But don't use that image. Image and atrazine together, that's very toxic and should be taken back.
Okay.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
Bye.
And that goes for any of you out there. Here's the piece off the internet about this product. I did a quick search, and it says image for St. Augustine grass and centipede grass kills tough weeds, and it says it has the image herbicide, atrazine in it, which is the thing that'll kill your trees. No minor little problem. It says that weeds controlled or suppressed by this product include annual bluegrass, which is Poa annua, chickweed, crabgrass, suppression only, it says, crane's bill, cudweed, dichondra, Florida betony, and a whole bunch of other things, but it mysteriously omits nutsedge, nutgrass. They're not even claiming to control nutsedge anymore. Well, that went kind of fast. I'm sorry, those of you holding, hang on, I'll talk to you before I get away. Enjoyed being with you today. Go to dirtdoctor.com for questions. In the meantime, if you got a question, info@dirtdoctor.com. The members of the Organic Club of America certainly get the first answers there that we can get to. We have a little bit too many coming in at this time of the year. If you want our newsletter, it's free. Send it to info. Send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. And enjoy your gardens. And, of course, don't forget to feed and water the birds. See you later.